Hare Krishna. So today we've chosen a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3. Sounds like we're in a cave. Okay. Chapter 5, entitled Viduras Talks with Maitreya. This is text number 1. Sri Shuka Avacha Dvari Du Nandya Rishabha Kurunam Maitreyam Ashinam Agadra Bhodham Shato Pashtrit Achutya Bhavashidha Prapacha Shoshilya Guna Brit Prita. Translation: Shukadeva Goswami said, Vidura, the best amongst the Kuru dynasty who was perfect in devotional service to the Lord, thus reached the source of the celestial Ganges River at Haridwar, where Maitreya, the great fathomless learned sage of the world, was seated. Vidura, who was perfect in gentleness and satisfied in transcendence, inquired from him, Purport. Vidura was already perfect due to his unalloyed devotion to the infallible Lord. The Lord and the living entities are all qualitatively the same by nature, but the Lord is quantitatively much greater than any individual living entity. He is ever infallible, whereas the living entities are prone to fall under the illusory energy. Vidura had already surpassed the fallible nature of the living entity in conditioned life due to his being Achutya Bhava, were legitimately absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord. This stage of life is called Achutya Bhava Siddha, or perfection by dint of practicing devotional service. Anyone, therefore, who is absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord is a liberated soul and has all admirable qualities. The learned sage Maitreya was sitting in a solitary place on the bank of the Ganges at Haridwar. And Vidura, who was a perfect devotee of the Lord and possessed all transcendental qualities, approached him for inquiry. So in this verse we hear about a very great devotee, Vidura, who is demonstrating the first and one of the most important steps in Krishna consciousness, to approach a self-realized soul and inquire about the process of devotional service. The classic verse comes to mind. Tadvidi paripatena pariprasana sevaya upadekshanti teginam ganenashtatvadarshanaha. Just try to learn the truth, absolute truth, by approaching a spiritual master, pariprasana sevaya. Inquire from him submissively and render service to him. The self-realized souls can give you knowledge because they have seen the truth. So, of course, we know that Vidura is self-realized. It's mentioned in this verse. He's already perfected by dint of his previous devotional activities and by the mercy of the Lord. But even in the liberated state, he's setting an example for us. This is Acharya. Sometimes the spiritual master is called Acharya, although technically the term is used, at least in our tradition, for one who establishes a movement like Ramanuja Acharya or Madhva Acharya. They were establishing a particular movement of Krishna consciousness. Or Arshita Prabhupada, he's the Acharya for the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But also the word Guru and Acharya can be used interchanged in the sense that the spiritual master, in the eyes of his disciples, the best devotee. He's the one who sets the example, whose footsteps we follow on the path of Krishna Consciousness. So he's setting a very good example. Actually, Prabhupada said one time, every intelligent man and woman should have a bona fide spiritual master. We used to refer to it in the old days as a fad. People were accepting gurus as a fad. Who's your guru? Who's your guru? No, it's not meant to be a fad, because self-realization, or more explicitly Krishna consciousness, love of God, is the goal of life for every human being. Atato brahma jinasya. Now that you've come to the human form of life, now is the time for a spiritual introspection, because that's the duty of every human being. Therefore, to achieve that goal, you need to accept a guru. So Vidura is kindly setting the example by going to the Himalayas to inquire from Maitreya Rishi. But no doubt he's already a great soul. He's described as Achyuta Bhava Siddha. He has achieved perfection through the process of devotional service. There's two ways that one can achieve perfection in Krishna consciousness. And we should listen carefully, because we're all here for that purpose. The goal of our lives is to become perfect devotees, unalloyed, pure devotees of the Lord. O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes like torrents of rain. I'm feeling all vacant in the world in your absence. Nothing less than that will satisfy the aspiring sadhaka. He wants to come to the stage where when he chants Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, remembering his beloved Lord, his eyes fill with tears. Love of God. He wants to come to that stage. So how, we're all practicing devotees, how do we achieve that exalted stage in our short lifetime? Some of us are in the autumn of our years, and we're not crying yet when we chant. So how do we achieve that exalted state? Well, there's two means of achieving perfection in Krishna consciousness. One is called Sadhan Siddha, and the other is called Kripa Siddha. Sadhan Siddha means that you accept the gradual process through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. The nine processes of devotional service. You begin to practice, and gradually, Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya Narta Nivriti Syat. The first effect is by accepting the rules and regulations in the practice of devotional service, the heart becomes cleansed. And by continuing the same process, love of Godhead eventually manifests. A Sadhan Siddha. Kripa Siddha means you get like a bolt from the blue. You get some special kripa, some special mercy that just falls on your head, and Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like Prabhupada gives the analogy, he said that generally one has to go through the process of primary school, high school, university, postgraduate, then you get a PhD. But there are certain cases where a university, recognizing a particular person's contribution to a particular field of knowledge, will just give that person a PhD, an honorary degree. He didn't even have to go to the university. He didn't even have to take the test. He didn't even have to do the doctorate. Because he's so proficient in the field, the university just says, well, you're a PhD. Oh, wow. But that doesn't happen very often. For 99.9% of the people, you have to go through the regular process. So we should always, one symptom of a devotee is that he's always expecting Krishna's mercy. He's always hopeful that Krishna will bestow his unalloyed, causeless mercy upon him. Sometimes it happens. But as a general rule, we should be patient and follow the regular course of activity. Sadhan Siddha, it refers to the regulative principles under the guidance of a spiritual master. It can be compared to a patient following a doctor's orders for becoming cured from a terrible disease. What is our disease? I'm not sick. Yes, you are. No, no, I don't have a cold. I got over the flu. I'm healthy. What is a symptom of disease? Pain and suffering. Is anyone in this room not feeling any pangs of material existence? Anyone not feeling any suffering, any problems? Are you stress-free, anxiety-free? Well, life is problematic. So that's a sign that there's some kind of disease. What is the disease? The disease is we forgot Krishna and we fell into this material nature, and as a result, we're obliged to take birth, to get disease, grow old, and die. So we're diseased in the ultimate sense. We have the disease of forgetfulness of God, and the symptoms are birth, disease, old age, and death. So we have to, just like a patient, he follows a doctor's orders, and he gradually becomes healthy. What kind of instructions does a doctor give? Basically, he gives the do's and the don'ts. He says, do take medicine 3 times a day. Do get plenty of rest. Do drink lots of juice. But he also gives the don'ts. Don't go outside in the cold weather. Don't eat rich foods at the Sunday feast. Don't stay up late. The do's and the don'ts. So in the execution of sadhana bhakti, the gradual process, the spiritual master, who's like the spiritual doctor, he's the doctor of the soul. Right? That's a kind of like New Age way of saying, what's a guru? What's a guru? He's a doctor of the soul. Really? Yeah, he's a doctor of the soul. And he's giving you some medicines, the do's and the don'ts. We say it like rules and regulation. Rules and regulations. Rules are the do's and regulations are the don'ts. So we come to Krishna consciousness and the guru says, you have to, I'm your spiritual doctor. If you want to get cured of this disease, this madness of forgetting God, you have to do some rules and you have to do some regulations. So what are the do's? What are some of the do's? Well, they're mentioned in Upadeshamrita. Utsahan nishchayad dhairyat tat tat karma pavartanat sangatigat satovrite sabdir bhakti prashidyati. The famous verse. What are the do's? Be enthusiastic. Don't lose hope. The karmis say, trust no future however bright. Yes, but not in Krishna consciousness. The future is very bright. The past may be very dark. But if you follow this process, the future is very bright. That's why Prabhupada called his main magazine in the early days, Back to Godhead. The future is very bright. So be enthusiastic. Endeavor with confidence. You can see that the process works because amongst you, amongst the assembly of devotees, there's always devotees more advanced than yourself. How did they get there? They were once where you were at, but they methodically followed the process and they got to where they are. So the process works. It's scientific. Really? Krishna consciousness is a science? Yes, it's scientific. Science means you have an hypothesis, you have an experiment to carry it out, and you get the result. H2O. Two molecules of hydrogen and one of oxygen. It's a theory. It's on the blackboard. What does it mean? Water. But if you take that theory and you apply it in the laboratory, you get the drop of water. Scientific. So we say, if you accept this process of Krishna consciousness in its entirety, you will make gradual advancement in spiritual life. Without a doubt. How do I know? Because I'm sitting right next to somebody who's been practicing it for so many years, and I can see their material desires have subsided, and they're very enthusiastic in associating with Krishna in the form of hearing his katha and chanting his holy name and eating food offered to him. Yeah. So endeavor with confidence. And be patient. Sometimes Well, now some of us have been practicing almost 40 years, and sometimes you hear, like, what's happening? I've only got a few years left. Well, how many lifetimes have we been practicing materialistic life? Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Life Beach. According to that verse by Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita, we have been here countless births. Prabhupada paraphrases. He says, since time immemorial, we've been here. What have we been doing? Not Krishna consciousness. Because if you had been doing Krishna consciousness, you wouldn't be here. One time a devotee said to Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, you have so much bhav, you have so much love for Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya said, what? If I had love for Krishna, I wouldn't be here, I'd be there. This is not a place for lovers of God. This is where you come to forget God. And then when you remember Him, you go back there. So it takes time. You have to be patient. Just like Prabhupada said, a girl, she gets married and naturally she wants a baby. But she can't wake up the morning after the wedding ceremony and say, where's my baby? She has to get pregnant and it takes 9 months. 9 long months, ladies, carrying that child around and delivering it. Finally. So devotional service takes time. Of course, how much time it takes depends upon the sincerity of the practitioner. Because devotees advance at different paces because of their sincerity. Some are more eager to give up material life and become Krishna conscious than others. After all, there are devatas, they're demigods, they're devotees, but because they're hanging on to their material attachments while at the same time practicing devotional service, they're called, what is the name, Prahlad? Prakriti Bhakta. They're mixed devotees. So if you remain a mixed devotee, it will take time to become, it'll work, but it'll take time. But if you're very sincere, you've had enough, I've had enough, I've done with it, and you try to relinquish those material desires as quickly as possible, the chanting will have greater effect. Just like a hot air balloon. You can fill it with tons of helium, but if you don't take the sandbags off the side, it won't float into the air. You should do two things at the same time. Put in the helium, fire, but throw off the sandbags, which keep the balloon down temporarily. And then it'll go nice. So devotional service entails two things. Giving up all those bad habits, and what's worse, the desires in the heart, and giving the process fuel. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, acting according to regulative principles, and giving up the association of non-devotees. These are things you should do. Not that we don't have association with non-devotees. What does it mean? It means that when we associate with non-devotees, well, in the business world, it means we're just doing our job. But if we do have other types of association, we're not going to get association. We're going to give association. Actually, preachers, they spend more time with non-devotees than they do devotees. On the order of Lord Chaitanya, devotees go out to preach the divine command. If you chalk up all the hours of the day, we spend more time with the non-devotees than we do with the devotees. Uh-oh. Asat Sangha Tyaga, Mahaprabhu says. Don't do that. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastu Koi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. Better spend your time with devotees. But if the spiritual master and Mahaprabhu give the instruction to go out and preach the divine command, you're associating with them through the instruction. There's Vani and Vapu. Vapu means the physical association of the Guru. Vani means following his instruction from a distance, but you still feel his presence. So by going out and preaching, we're actually with our Guru because he's ordered us to do so. And we're not taking association. We're giving people Krishna consciousness. So give up the association doesn't mean you go to the forest It means you go to the jungles of Kali Yuga. You go to the cities. And you feel very comfortable on the street. I feel really good here. Because it's a great place to face Krishna consciousness. I sometimes tell Prahlad, he thinks it's a little strange, when I smell the fumes of the cars, it puts me in ecstasy. Well, not ecstasy. Like, you know, you're driving behind a truck and the trucks, the fumes, everyone says, roll up the window. I say, no, keep it down. What? Because it always reminds me of Sankirtan. That somehow or other, after so many years of doing Sankirtan, like in the cities, when I smell the fumes of a car, on the street, book distribution, Hari Nam Fest. I know it's a little weird, but it reminds me. Because that's our temple of the heart. To be on the street serving the order of Guru and Gauranga. And number six is that we should always, follow in the footsteps of previous acharyas. And Prabhupada's lotus feet walked not so much through the mountainous terrains and the rice paddies and along the rivers. No, his feet were always walking in the cities of Kali Yuga. One time a devotee said to Prabhupada, I always want to be next to your lotus feet. And Prabhupada said, oh, that's very difficult because these lotus feet are traveling all over the world. Okay, that's the do's. That's the rules. And what are the regulations? What are the don'ts to get cured? Don't eat more than necessary. That's the hardest one. I haven't grasped that one yet. Don't eat more than necessary. No, give me more. It's not necessary. Yes, it is. Don't talk prajalpa. That's a very important one. Don't speak about or hear things that are not related to Krishna consciousness. Don't practice the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness. To practice the rules and regulations of devotional service for anything other than making spiritual advancement. You just want to make a show. Don't associate with materialistic persons and don't be greedy for material achievement. Don't try to take on a task which is greater than your ability or your community's ability to achieve. Just like lots of times we hear that the devotees want to build a big temple. That's a nice idea, but do you have the resources to build it? Do you have the resources to maintain it? Because sometimes it's more expensive to maintain something than it was to construct it. And we've seen sometimes devotees have taken on big projects and in enthusiasm, but a little naive, and being unable to actually achieve that goal, and they become discouraged and they give up Krishna consciousness. It happens. So before we begin a big project, we have to see if we're actually able to. We should think big, of course, but at the same time, if we're little people, we may not be able to do what big people do. So we have to grow up and then grow up spiritually to be able to achieve it. This has to be thought out very carefully. So lots of do's and lots of don'ts from the spiritual doctor. But of course, the spiritual master gives many instructions. He gives many instructions. One time, Umapati Maharaj, who was Umapati Das, I believe at that time, this is in the very beginning, there was one rule and one regulation in Krishna consciousness in the pioneer days. There was only one rule you had to follow because that's all the kids could follow. They were just like hippies off the street and, you know, even one rule was too. They were against all rules and regulations and authority. When I was preaching in France, we would often go to the Quartier Latin, the Latin Quarter, where all the young people had that revolution in 68, and they were very much anarchist kids. And they had one saying, ni maître ni Dieu, no master, no God. I don't want to follow any rules and regulations. It was really hard to preach in those days. Ni maître ni Dieu, no master, no God. And we're down there preaching about, you know, tad vidi paripatena. To accept a spiritual master and, you know, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna's the Supreme Person. A little troublesome in those days. So to ask, you know, people to follow any rules and regulations sometimes is, you know, if it feels good, do it. That's the only rule in Kali Yuga. So Prabhupada said there's one rule. Chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. That's the rule. Oh, my Lord, your holy name alone can render all benediction upon the living entities. Thus you have hundreds and millions of names like Krishna, Govinda, etc. You've invested all your transcendental energies in these holy names, and there's no hard and fast rules for chanting Hare Krishna. You've made approach to you easy by the chanting of your name. No yajnas, no austerities, no mastering the four Vedas, just chanting your holy name in Kali Yuga. You've made it so simple. But unfortunately, due to my conditioned nature, I have very little attraction. I can't get up to 16 rounds a day, even after 2, 3, 4 years. So there's one rule, and even then it's hard to follow somebody's telephone. So after chanting for some time and tasting the bliss and making advancement, and when Umapati went to Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, that's very nice, this chanting. He said, but are there any rules and regulations in Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada said, yes, I thought you'd never ask. And then Prabhupada went to his room and he wrote down that paper that's famous. It's on all the Brahmachari ashrams and Brahmacharini ashram, the rules for living in the temple, the four regulative principles, and going out on sankirtan, attending classes. If you want some rules, you have to follow. He revealed many rules gradually. One time he said, if I told you all the rules and regulations now, you'd faint. And after one evening session, in the very early days, the devotees had all left the class and went out on the street, and Prabhupada took a stroll, and he walked down one street and he saw a lot of the students in the donut shop, and they were eating donuts and drinking coffee and smoking cigarettes. And Prabhupada said, are those our men? And his disciple said, yes. And Prabhupada said, what is this shop? And the disciple said, it's a donut shop. And Prabhupada said, no, it's a do not shop. Do not go in the donut shop. If you want donuts, then you go to the donut planet. Plant. Yeah, I thought it was a planet. I thought maybe there's a planet of donuts somewhere. There's a donut plant. One devotee has a donut. Of course, you probably know better than me because you've been to New York. A devotee has a factory where they make like godzillion types of donuts, and they're all really yummy. I know. I tried that aspect of devotional service. That's not a do not. That's a do not miss. That donut shop, that donut plant where they make these, they're famous. They have how many different outlets? 40 stores they sell to here and also in Japan and someplace. Now you all know Korea. And they have jelly-filled donuts and they have artificial carob donuts. Artificial carob's chocolate. I'm supposed to say that in class. And they have, just so many kinds. You could just like, your senses can go wild for Krishna, because it's all offered. But the other kind, unoffered, and what to speak of the cigarettes and the coffee, this is all public. This is the do not. So you have to be prepared. Nothing great is ever achieved in life without accepting some kind of discipline. You have to be prepared. If you want to be a devotee, you have to be prepared. Disciple means one who follows discipline. That's the meaning of disciple. Doesn't mean you get a new name and, you know, and you get some new beads. No, disciple means from this point on, I vow to become disciplined. To achieve a good education, you have to be disciplined. To excel in your career, you have to be disciplined. What to speak of the highest goal of life, which is God realization, how much discipline does that imply? So much. Of course, Lord Chaitanya has made some concessions for people of Kali Yuga. It's simple, but it's not cheap. You have to be prepared, according to our acharyas, to accept things which you may not always want to accept and to give up things you may not want to give up. You have to be prepared. Otherwise, don't think that you'll make much tangible progress. It's a full-time effort. And to the degree that the patient carefully and faithfully follows the instructions of the doctor, he becomes cured. You can't leave anything out and expect to achieve perfection. Just like, is there a doctor in the house? No doctor, okay. Oh, there's a doctor, okay. Now, when you give a prescription of antibiotics, right, I know because I've taken antibiotics numerous occasions, having traveled to different parts of the world where you can get sick really easy. You get a 5-day course, you get a 10-day course. I don't know if it goes beyond that. Well, I guess if you're in the...
It can if you're really ill, 14 days.
Yeah. And they always tell you, the doctors always tell you, that follow the full course. Don't stop after a few days because it looks like the symptoms go away. And I've done it many times. I've got a bad infection or a bad chest cold or, you know, and I take a 9-day course and I give up after 5 days because the symptoms go away. And then what happens is because the bug is still there, it's not dead, it's just hiding in some tissue somewhere, knowing there's a big fight going on. He's a scaredy cat. Scaredy cat. Hiding in some cell somewhere, then there's no more antibiotics. He doesn't die. To take the full course, 9 days. So if you want prema, if you want love of God, the highest goal, you have to be prepared to accept all the rules and all the regulations. Of course, we don't want to scare anybody away, because in the beginning it seems like too much. But gradually, actually the whole system of Varnashram Dharma is to gradually bring us to the point of full surrender. You know, first you're brahmachari, then you're a grihastha, then you're vanaprastha, and then you're sannyas. And devotional service is the same way. It's a gradual process for everyone. Everyone, different strokes for different folks. We have our different... But eventually we have to be prepared to embrace atmanivedanam, full surrender. And you get more strength as you go on. You try to lift a weight when you first... You know, you're a big, like, overweight person and you want to start lose your weight, so you go on a diet and you start exercising and you're going to lift weights. And the first day you pick it up, you can hardly lift it. So don't give up. You just practice for 3 or 4 days a little bit. Then, after 1 week, whoa, wow, that was easy. So, along with the instruction of the spiritual master comes the ability to perform it. Have that faith always. The guru is never going to give you an instruction which is too hard for you to follow. It may seem hard, but he'll never give you an instruction that will make you fall down. He just gives you a challenge. He raises the bar. If you don't raise the bar for an athlete, then he'll never get to his peak. So the spiritual master will give you some instruction and get you a little going, a little strength, and then another instruction. So always be prepared. What is the next instruction that I can... follow under your guidance? This is why we need a spiritual master. Because he's like the coach. I hate to say it like that, but he's like the transcendental coach. He takes us, you know, a boy or a girl has the ability of gymnastics, but you have to train under a coach, and they're always watching and adjusting and making these arrangements, and then finally, like that. So to the degree that we don't leave one of the days out, I took eight days, you know. Why did it take 9 days? No, 9 days. I don't want to take 9 days. I'm sick of the antibiotics. Sometimes we're in devotional service and it's one of those days that's just not any fun. Ups and downs to be expected, but still be disciplined. Stick to your vows. Because you're taking the medicine. You don't know how it's working. You're ingesting the medicine in your body. Do you know how it's working? No. So you don't know how the chanting's working and how important it is every day to take that elixir. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Right, Radhasakhi Vrinda Devi Dasi? To chant every day, right? At least one round. When you're, how old are you now? 10, right? So a few rounds every day keeps Maya away. We've taken charge of her, so she doesn't understand everything yet, but we're like the coach. So we're making the adjustments. She doesn't have to chant 16, but pretty soon, I'm a big girl. Look at the 16, so you gotta. So that's the general course, ladies and gentlemen. Now, sometimes it's seen in the medical field that a patient becomes suddenly and without explanation cured. You read those stories. The cancer patient, you know, the fourth stage of cancer, and something happens and then they're cured. Like, wow, it's a miracle. There's a place in France called Lourdes. Lourdes, it's a holy place where they say the Virgin Mary appeared. And the Virgin Mary appeared there to two young girls in a cave. So I was always, because I was in France for 15 years. Est-ce que vous parlez français? Je donne la classe en français, non? What? No? You don't speak French? I give the class in French. No? Okay. Voilà, so, no. So, we were always doing Sankirtana. I was always kind of curious about this place with the Virgin Mary, if it was really true or not, you know, that she actually appeared there in this cave. And so one day we were dividing up the different parts of France. This is how we were. We were dividing it. You take that part of France. You liberate that part of France. With our Sankirtan parties, right? Book distribution. So I made sure I got it. I think it was the southwest, I can't remember, of France. And that was my area for those 6 months because that's where Lourdes was. I always wanted to go there and check it out and see it. So then we went there and we set up our camp and, you know, we did Sankirtan for several weeks and we had a day off. And so the boys said, you know, where are we going to go? So we're going to go to Lourdes. We're going to go there for. I just want to see this place. It's like, you know, I've heard that people get cured like miraculously. So we went there and actually it was a cave, quite a large cave. And when we walked in, there were a lot of people fervently praying, very strongly praying. And the unusual thing was that all around the cave, there were hanging canes and crutches and wheelchairs and artificial limbs. And I said to one of the curators there, one of the people who takes me, I said, "What? This is kind of gross. Like, what are all these artificial limbs and... and all these crutches and all these wheelchairs and canes?" He said, "Oh, when people came here and they prayed to the Virgin Mary, they were cured. They were no longer crippled. And this has happened through the centuries." He said, "I've seen it with my own eyes. A person came in a wheelchair and prayed, and then they got up and ran away. And we took their wheelchair and hung it on a wall." So, you know, whether it's true or not, I can't say. I don't know. But
how was the book distribution?
It was fantastic because people were suffering. So it's always easier to distribute books where people are in misery. I don't know if that. I'm not one to judge, but anyway, we do have authorized accounts in our Krishna conscious movement of people who have been cured of terrible diseases by the instant mercy of the Lord. Take, for example, the leper, Vasudeva the leper. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India, he bestowed his causeless mercy upon many personalities, and he went to one village where he stayed at the home of the Kurma Brahmana. That's the famous story where the Brahmana, the head of the household, he was very impressed by Lord Chaitanya and all his saffron associates, Brahmachari. So he wanted to leave his family and go on the Radha Damodar, traveling Sankirtan party. That was the problem in America. Most of you weren't here then, that His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. and Vishnujan Maharaj. They had their traveling sangha, and they come to a temple, and the temple president wake up the next morning. All the brahmacharis are gone. They want to travel with the maharajas and travel and see the world, and you know. Yeah, temple president left, so it was a problem. So the original Radha Damodar Sankirtan party was when Lord Chaitanya went to that that village, and the Korma Brahmana wanted to leave, and Mahaprabhu said, no, there's no need to leave. You can become Krishna conscious in the householder ashram. You just sit with your family and you do Krishna conscious activities. You have arti, you have kirtan. He said specifically, you read Bhagavad Gita and you preach Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur concluded, Grihe Thako Bhani Thako. Whether one's a Grihastra or whether one's a Tyagi, I mean like a renunciate living in the forest, if that person has in his heart the interest of serving Lord Chaitanya, I want the dust of that person's feet upon my head. I don't care if he's a Grihastra or a Sannyasi. If that's his aim of life, then that person's a holy man. And I take the dust of their feet upon my head. So that was the instruction given to the Kurma Brahman. At the same time that Mahaprabhu was in that village, he was approached by a great devotee, Vasudev, who had contracted leprosy. And he was suffering terribly from the leprosy. We read, it's quite a graphic description given. This is my modern day sannyasi water pot here. It's a straw in the bottle. It's so cool. Someone gave it to me today. Clean. So he had such bad leprosy that the sores there, the worms were living or eating his flesh, actually. I don't know if you've ever seen leprosy. It's a very terrible disease. But he was such an extraordinary, unusual soul that he had this vision of the true equality of all living beings. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavihastini sunichava sapakicha panditasam darshanaha. A pandit, a learned person, his darshan, his vision, is he sees all living entities equally. He sees a learned and gentle soul, a brahmana. He sees an elephant. He sees a cow. He sees a dog. He sees a dog eater on an equal platform. And he treats them as such. He doesn't see the body. He sees the soul as equal in quality with himself. And therefore, he, as our Christian brothers and sisters tell us, to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You don't want anyone to inflict misery on you. So don't inflict misery on anybody else. And that doesn't just mean your family or your community, your country. It means all people of the earth and all species of life down to the Indra Gop. Don't cause them unnecessary harm. He had this vision. So that when the worms fell out of the sores under the ground, oh my gosh, he would pick them up and put them back in the sore. Oh, you poor worm, please come back in. This is not something that any conditioned soul or even most devotees, we can't understand that type of compassion. It seems like way beyond. But this is how advanced he was. So he came to see Lord Chaitanya, not to get cured from his disease. He came for the sole purpose of having darshan with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He didn't ask Mahaprabhu to free him from the leprosy. He came to see the Supreme Personality, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radhe Krishna Nahi Anga. The combined form of Radha and Krishna manifests on the earthly platform. Who wouldn't want to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Avatar, Gauranga, the Golden Avatar, dancing in ecstasy, drowning the earth in the nectar of the holy names. He came like that. While he was there, Mahaprabhu, seeing his exalted nature, if a devotee can see beyond the body into the soul, then how much easier it is for the Lord, who's the supreme devotee in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to see beyond that crippled condition of the Brahmana Vasudev. He immediately saw, this is my dear Bhakta. This is my devotee. Let me go forward and embrace him. He didn't even see the sores on his body. Just like when he embraced Sanatana Goswami, Mahaprabhu was embracing him in reciprocation for his loving service. Because service is always something that's reciprocal. If you do service, if you render loving service to Krishna, you can expect, you can hope that the Lord will also reciprocate with you. Love is always reciprocal. That's the beauty of devotion. The more service you render, the more you're guaranteed that Krishna will reciprocate in some loving way with you. It's guaranteed. He's the supreme lovable person. He will reciprocate. With as much service as you do, you'll get equal attention from the Lord. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. What is the reward? You get Krishna's association. So Krishna saw, here's my devotee. He didn't see the sores. So he embraced him. And by the touch of the transcendental form of the Lord, the leprosy, it disappeared. It couldn't stand. No sin. No sinful reaction. No disease. Of course, we can't think of Vasudeva like that because this was a pastime. He had not committed a sin to have that condition. But just to demonstrate the potency, the power of the Lord's association, all inauspiciousness flew away, Prabhupada says in the purport, to a distant place. I don't know where all the sinful reactions go and accumulate. I don't want to go there. It's probably called hell. But that was the result. And the leper looked at his body. He was completely cured. So therefore, Mahaprabhu, he became famous as Vasudeva Amrita Prada, one who has delivered nectar to the Brahmana Vasudeva. In one sense, you could say the nectar was he became free from the disease. But according to Vasudeva, he would consider the nectar was he got the embrace of God. What more could you want in life than to have the embrace? After Hanuman had done his amazing feats of going down to Lanka and finding Sita and then catching the whole city on fire, thus facilitating the reunion of Sita and Ram and the destruction of Ravana, oh my God, what a service. Ram said, what can I do for you? What can I give you for that service? He said, just give me a hug. Sakiras. So therefore, there's the picture of Hanuman embracing Ramachandra. So Vasudeva Amrita Prala means that he was delivered the nectar to the Brahmana. What was the nectar? Okay, it's nice to get free from leprosy. But the real nectar was that intimate contact. I want that too. You have it. When you chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. You have it, you just don't know it. That's our fallen state. We don't realize what good fortune we have. We're like a child who has a jewel in her hand. And she plays with it a little while, then she throws it away. Mother finds the jewel. Oh my gosh, look at this jewel. Because she's older and mature, she realizes the value of that jewel. So when you become older and mature in Krishna consciousness, it doesn't mean by age. It's by practice of devotional service. You can be a young child, like little Shruti here. And she may be on her last birth. You've just started Krishna consciousness in this life and you're a big sannyasi guru. Here's a little... How old are you, Shruti? 11, almost 11. 11. But she may have been a sadhika in her last life and just a little touch. She needs just a little touch of Krishna consciousness in this lifetime. Back home, back to Godhead. Maybe. If you give her a big applause, maybe she'll make it in this lifetime. You see these children, her and Radhasakya, their children, they're sitting listening to the whole class. They're 9, 10, 11 years old. What were you doing when you were 9, 10, 11? What were you watching? Don't laugh, it hurts. But from birth, this is what. So they're here and they're listening. This is indicative of something. And they're not falling asleep, these girls. I'm watching them. They're fixed. They're like, they're just fixed on the talk, and they understand a lot of it, if not most of it. So, there are examples. Of course, that's an example where Mahaprabhu bestowed creep in the form of relieving from the disease. But there are examples also where the Lord gives kripa and awakens pure love of God in the heart of the devotee. And I think it's in the eighth canto, Śrīla Prabhupāda discusses how he gives an example of aspiring devotees who got kripa siddha from the Lord and immediately came to the topmost exalted platform. He gives the example of the Yajnapatnis. They were the wives of the brahmanas. The brahmanas are very pakka brahmanas, doing very nice. But they wouldn't give food to Krishna and Balaram. They were blinded by their pride. They couldn't recognize the supreme Brahman, the absolute truth personality of Godhead, was hungry. Ma, hungry. They wouldn't give food. But the wives, they were just simple village ladies, of course, Brahmanis, but when they heard that Krishna and Balaram were hungry, they immediately made all of arrangements to go and give them. So because of that mentality, Prabhupada says in the purport, they got the full mercy of the Lord. Another example he gives in the eighth canto is that of Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj, yeah, okay, take three steps, kid. Vamanadeva took two steps and said, where do I put the third one? Oh my gosh, you're Krishna. Put it on my head. He just gave a little bit, but he got this kripa. And the third example that Prabhupada gives is that of Shukadeva Goswami. So, wouldn't you like to get that? Actually, I can tell you where to get it. Who would like? Of course, we're prepared to go through the process of sadhana bhakti. But who would like to get that PhD in spiritual life just so easily? Just get some mercy which falls from the sky on your head, some Krishna kripa. Who would like to get it? Okay, I'll tell you where to go. And I'll go with you if you pay my ticket. You go to India, you go to Jagannath Puri, and you go to the temple of Toto Gopinath. Toto Gopinath is the deity which was worshipped by Gadadhar Pandit. That deity was standing, Tribhanga Sundara, Krishna so beautiful, playing his flute. And Gadadhar Pandit was worshipping that deity in his old age. And he couldn't reach up to put the garland on the Lord because he was old man bending over. So Lord said, no problem, my devotee. Lord sat down like I'm sitting here, playing the flute like this. And that's how the deity is now worshipped. He's sitting, cross-legged. Like that. So Gadadhar Pandit could come and put the garland on. And that deity was found by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the sand dunes of Jagannath Puri. And if you ask the pujari, 100 rupees, only 100 rupees, he'll lift the skirt of the deity and you'll see a crack in the knee. And that's where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the deity as his final pastime on this earth. That's how he disappeared. What a deity. And its tradition says, says that this deity can bestow prema bhakti upon a sadhaka. Mm-hmm. So every time I go to Jagannath Puri, we have these ecstatic kirtans at the Toto Gopinath temple. Well, it didn't work yet. But it's said that sometimes he bestows that deity, he bestows Krishna prema upon a neophyte devotee, Bhakti Joe, Bhakti and Mary. Yeah, I'll go with you guys to India. Why not? Sounds cool. Hare Krishna. I don't have an example before me, but this is the tradition there. So devotees like to congregate there. Mother Jagatarini, Murijan Prabhu's wife, she very kindly renovated that entire inside of that temple to make it look very beautiful for the Lord and the pleasure of the Lord's devotees, a very popular temple. So it's possible you can get Krishna Kripa. But again, don't sit idly and wait. Follow the normal process. It will come in time. And anyway, in one sense, a devotee already feels that he or she has received special mercy. We all feel like that. Just to find ourselves sitting in this room, to be in this movement, means that you've received some special grace of the Lord. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasad Bhai Bhakti Lat Beej. We were wandering through this material creation from universe to universe, species of life, body to body. We weren't looking for God. What happened? Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. The spiritual master generally goes and canvasses on behalf of the Lord for conditioned souls to surrender. The Lord intervened in your life. As I said the other night, you didn't go to India looking for a guru. You didn't go searching out for God. Maybe you had some sentiment, but you weren't making an earnest search. You weren't like, that wasn't the be-all and the existence of your life to go back to Godhead. It's just one of the things you did. Maybe you were practicing something. But the causeless mercy of Lord Chaitanya is represented. They intervene. Stop your sinful ways. Who are you? Take this laddu. Eat this. Yeah. Oh, it's very nice. Yes, and chant. Hey, come to the temple. In many ways, we were practically forced, like Prabhupada said. His friend invited him to come see Bhakti Sadhana Saraswati at Ungalta Road? Upaganda Road. Prabhupada said he practically had to force me to come there. He said, I'd seen so many sadhus. He said, I was not interested in seeing sadhus. Of course, we know Prabhupada came specifically for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness. But there must be many cases where one just came along for the ride or the prasad or something like this. So anyway, we're all here by the mercy of Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas. And what is our good fortune? What is our good fortune in being here? We have the best God. Of course, there's only one God, but who else knows how beautiful is God? With his flute and his peacock feather, and bluish black like the monsoon cloud, and his Vaijayanti garland, five types of flowers down to the ankles, and his blue dhoti, and his ecstatic smile, and his teeth placed just like rows of pearls, and his shark-shaped earrings as he plays the fifth note on his flute, and his eternal consort, Srimati Radharani. This is the absolute. We have the best God. We have the best association in the form of our spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. We have the best scripture, Bhagavad Gita. I know, because I preach it all the time. And I can see that anything anyone else offers is, although it's respected because it's religious, it doesn't come close to the absolute truth of the Gita. Nothing's as complete as the science of the Bhagavad Gita, as I often tell the people. There's no question that cannot be answered in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. I said, try, give me a question. And if you explain it authoritatively, then people are satisfied. So there's no, we have the best scriptures. We have the best residences. Our residents are typically very clean and very organized and holy, the presence of the deity and the artik. And ladies and gentlemen, we have the best food. Some of our main recipes come from Bengal, and Bengal cooking has lots of sweets. Right? In Gujarat, with all due respect, we just have the Shrikant. Ek, do, teen, char? No, ek, Shrikant. And you have to eat it in the beginning. Actually, they eat it all the way through the meal. I was at Mayapur Chandra's house. Where eating it through the whole meal, that's the way to do it. Whoa. That's very nice. And you go, you know, UP, we have this. South India, we have little, I don't know what we have. What is it, the sweet we have in South India? Yes. Ek, do, teen? Char? No. But Bengal, whoa, you go to Bengali market in Calcutta. A whole market of sweets, mounds of sweets. So this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. He took, no doubt he took birth in Bengal for a specific purpose. Because Prabhupada said this prasadam, this is our secret weapon. So we already feel ourselves so fortunate. We would be nice if we could get that special blessing. Even if we don't, we're very happy just executing the ordinary process of devotional service, because it's very nice even from day one. What to speak of halfway through or the exalted stage of, it's nice from the beginning to the end. So let us take advantage of that sadhan bhakti and perfect it, and in this lifetime, hopefully, go back home, back to Godhead. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.